Good morning, everybody. So we're halfway through December now, and I don't know whether you've heard the expression about Advent and how the word Advent means it's coming. Jesus is coming. It's a time of coming. And today I'm going to speak about God having a plan for every one of us, but how people, how each one of us responds to him in different ways. And when we think about Christmas, and we all have our own plans for Christmas, I don't know what your plans are, but every year you might change those plans. You might have your traditions, the way you do things. You might put your decorations up at the beginning of December. You might have Advent calendars where you have a chocolate every day. You might have an Advent candle which you burn down. You might have Christmas lists, you know, many Christmas lists. You finished yours? Oh, well done. You can come and help me then. But so we all have our own plans for Christmas. But God had his plan for Christmas. And he started to prepare for the first Christmas over a year before Jesus was born. And that's when he sent the angel Gabriel first to Zechariah and then to Elizabeth. Martin's just going to come now. And read from Luke's Gospel.
Martin's just going to come now and preach the rest of the sermon, which he's dying to do. No, I'm only kidding. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you said." And the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. And Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she proclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who's believed that what the Lord said to her will be accomplished." Sorry, Nanny, just jumped back a little bit earlier because I missed a little bit at the beginning from verse 5. In the time of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel from the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to drink any wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord. And he will go on in before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Amen.
Thank you. So God has a plan. And he had a plan for Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he had a plan for Mary, and actually for Joseph, and he has a plan for us. And the beginning of that plan started with, if you like, the angel Gabriel. And it could be like, you can see the angel Gabriel. He's standing in the presence of God, and God says to him, "I'd like to go down to the earth, and I would like you to visit Zechariah and give him this good news. And then 6 months later, I would like you to go and visit Mary and give her this good news." So he had a plan even for the angel Gabriel. So God had a plan for Zechariah, and he's Zechariah. He's a priest, you know. He loves God, and he goes to the temple, and he's worshipping God there. And today, this day, when he goes there, he's chosen, actually, and it's part of God's plan for his life. He's chosen by lot, however they did that. He was chosen to go into the temple and to burn the incense and to worship there. And while he was there, this angel appeared to him with this message. And Zechariah probably got a real big shock and was afraid. And he brought this message to him that his prayer had been answered. Their prayer had been answered for a child. And actually, Zechariah thought, "Oh, well, how can it be, you know?" But actually, and he could think, it's too late now. I've been waiting all these years. My wife's barren. It's too late. But actually, it's not too late, because it was just at the perfect time when God sent this angel. It was the perfect time for Jesus to come, but it's the perfect time for Zechariah. And God has a purpose and a plan and a perfect time for us. And it's never too late. And you might feel it's too late. You might have been waiting for many years for something you've been praying for, waiting for. And like for us, you know, there's the back room here. You've been waiting a long time and you think, what's it about? Why? And Zechariah and Elizabeth probably thought, why? But actually, God hears our prayers. He heard Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer, and he hears our prayers. He hears us, and he will respond at the perfect time. But for us to keep going, to keep waiting, and to be encouraged by Zechariah, because in all of it, he kept his relationship with God. He kept going to the temple and kept praying and kept his relationship. That's the most important thing, because he is in part in God's plan at that point, ready to receive, ready to do what God asks him to do. So just to be encouraged. So sometimes we have to wait, and you can see Zechariah and Elizabeth, they've suffered for many years, the shame and the pain, and waited. And God, sometimes it feels like that. Prayers come, you know, and they take a long time. But sometimes God answers prayers quickly. Just going to share a little story from when I was at school. It was this time of the year. I was about 8 years old, and we were doing nativity at school. And, you know, when you're little, you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of girls would like to be Mary, and a lot of boys would like to be Joseph, or a little boy, you know, they might, "Oh, I'd like to be a wise man," or "I'd like to be a shepherd." And they were giving all the different parts out to different people. And I must have been about 8 or 9. And the part I really wanted was to be the star in the sky at Bethlehem. Because this part was, actually in this nativity, it was a part that you were narrated. You actually talked through the nativity and you actually sang a solo and you sang with the angels, you sang with the shepherds, you sang with the kings. And it was a beautiful part. And they gave it to older children, the parts really. I was only little. But I remember thinking, oh, I really would like to be the star. So I prayed, you know, to God and said, please, Lord, I would love to be the star in the sky at Bethlehem. Please let me be that star. And actually, the girl who had the part, she became ill, which is quite terrible, really. God answered my prayer, but bless this girl, whoever she is, you know, please forgive me, but I prayed for the part to be the star, and she became ill, so much so that she was ill for weeks and she couldn't do that part. So then they said, would anybody else like to be the star? So that was me. But for me, actually, it was a real answer to prayer for me. It really encouraged me, my relationship with God. You know, I thought, God really heard me. I'm going to be the star. And I loved it, you know. So that was a real, but I really feel like God answered my prayer. God bless that girl anyway. And it was a quick answer. So Zachariah had to wait and Elizabeth had to wait, but God came at the perfect time. And then there's Mary, and the angel came to Mary 6 months later. And she's there, you know, and actually her response could have been, actually, it's too early. You've come with this message too early. But actually, it's never too early. This was God's perfect time. And for Mary, it was unexpected. You know, she wasn't married. She wasn't ready. So really, she thought, it's too early. But actually, God had a plan, you know. And naturally, we might have a plan. And you might think, it's a bit too early to do this. Oh, God, you're not going to ask me to do that now. It's too early. I'm not ready. I'm inexperienced. But actually, God's saying, you know, it's actually not your way and it's not your plan. It's my plan. But are you ready? You know, be encouraged and don't be afraid. It's never too early with God. So God has a plan for Zachariah and Elizabeth and for Mary, and he has a plan for each one of us. And what he wants us to do is to believe in his plan for us, to believe in that plan. And for Zachariah, his response was to the angel. You know, the angel explained every detail of what was going to happen to him and his wife. And actually, his response was one of unbelief. I mean, you think, all this time, I mean, he was quite scared, really. There's an angel there. And you might think, all right, okay, thanks. Yeah, that's awesome news, good news. But actually, he said, how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure? And the angel then said, well, this will be the sign. You know, you'll be silent. And that was the sign. So he closed his mouth and Zachariah didn't speak for those 9 months. And that was the sign. And when you think of Zachariah and Elizabeth, you look at their situation. In the natural, you would think, actually, it all looks good for them. Zachariah is married to Elizabeth. You know, it looks good. Actually, barrenness then was it was a real shameful thing. And there was a disgrace on that family. So actually, this news about them going to have a baby would be to take the shame and disgrace away. So you'd think, he would think, oh, that's great. Yeah, the disgrace and shame of our family will go. And actually, these were older people, but they were experienced. So you'd think, oh yeah, you know, they'd be good to bring up a baby, bring up a child. So all the situation in the natural looked good. But Zachariah's heart, his response wasn't really positive. And then we look at Mary and think of Mary and how her response was, the angel comes and explains everything to her and she doesn't say, no way, you know. I mean, her situation looks really bad, actually. She wasn't married. She was probably about 15 years old. I mean, she was betrothed to Joseph, which actually would look really bad as well. If she was pregnant, that's really bad because she has betrothed to this Joseph. And actually, there was a potential of her being stoned, rejected by her family, left alone. So her situation, and she had not much experience, just being very young. So her situation looked really bad. But actually, her heart response was positive. And it's to do with that, you see, whether you feel ready or not ready, too young, too old, situation looks bad or good, it's to do with our heart. And Mary's heart was, she said, how will this happen? She was asking, okay, how is it going to happen? And that was her response to God's plan. And it was a one of faith. She didn't think, what's going to happen to me? You know, what? She didn't think of that. She just thought, how will this happen? And she trusted God and had faith in that. I'm just going to share a story now about when we got our house. The house we live in now, we've lived there for 20 years. We moved in yesterday, the 13th of December, 20 years ago. And it was a real gift from God. And like for Zachariah and for Mary, faith is a process. And for Zachariah, it was more of a process. And for each one of us, and we were praying for God, to God for a house. We lived in a two-bedroomed house, and we had three children. So we needed a bigger house. And we were in a position now, the first time was to buy a house, our first house to buy. And so basically, we had to apply for a mortgage. And actually, the situation we were in, we were renting a house from a housing association. And they said, if you've lived in a house for over 2 years, one of our houses, we'll give you £8,000 towards buying your first house. So we thought, oh, that's great. So we applied for this £8,000. And then we started looking for a house. So Martin, he had a salary, I think it was, £15,000 a year. So they used to multiply it by three. So you were allowed a house for £45,000. This is 20 years ago. And then we also had this £8,000 potentially. So it would bring us to £53,000 for a house. So we went searching for a house. And we looked and looked. And eventually we found this house. Well, I ran into Clough and Kearns, as it was, and found this picture of a house. And I thought, wow. And it had big windows, because I love big windows and the sunshine to come in. And looked at it and thought, wow. But it was £59,950, so nearly £60,000 for this house. So I grabbed the piece of paper, got into the car, and Martin was there. So I covered the price up like this and said to Martin, what do you think about this house? And he said, oh, that's gorgeous. He said, how much is it? And I showed him. He said, £60,000, we can't afford it. And it was, we like, 53 was our max, really. And I said, no, but it's awesome, isn't it? Should we pray, you know? So we took this leaflet home and started to pray about this house. So we applied for the mortgage. And the girl who worked in Barclays was somebody in our church. So she took the application in and she got the mortgage for us, £45,000. And then we said, right, we can put an offer in on this house. Or we went to see the house first. Yeah, we went to see the house. And we loved it. We thought, this is an awesome house. We really love the house. And then so we thought, right, okay. We put an offer in for the house. And we offered, the first offer was £53,000, which is a big drop from £60,000. And then they come straight back to us and said, sorry, they've not accepted your offer. So Martin said, oh, well, maybe you look somewhere else. I said, no, keep praying. We'll put the piece of paper on top of the fridge. And we prayed. And I said to God, you know, maybe if we get a little bit more money on the mortgage, we might be able to get this house. So we spoke to this girl from Barclays. And we asked her, would there be any possibility of getting maybe another £4,000? So she came round. She took all our details. And then she said, right. And she went back to the bank. And then at this time, this particular day, we got a letter through the post and it was from North Housing saying, actually, all the £8,000 now are going, running out. So if you haven't found your house yet, we suggest you wait till next year, next April, when they issue more money. We were thinking, oh no. And that same day, I found out I was expecting our Sam. It was our fourth child. So it was like, right, Lord. So, we, you know, pressure's on. We're in a two-bedroomed house expecting our fourth child. So we just prayed and said, right, Lord, we need three miracles. We need this extra £4,000. That'll bring us up to £49,000. And we need the people who own the house to accept our next offer. And we need this £8,000. So the girl went to Barclays, and the next morning she rang. She said, it's a miracle. She said, I went into the bank with your application under my arm. She said, and there was a few people I could speak to, and there's one person I didn't want to speak to because he's very strict on these job and these mortgage applications. But I walked into the bank, and he was the one who bumped into me. And he said, oh, have you got an application there for a mortgage? He gave it. He took it, and she was like, oh. He went, and he looked through it. He said, oh, that's fine, and he signed it. So she said, it's a miracle. She said, you've got that money that you need. So we said, thank you, Lord, the first miracle. And then, so we said, right, okay. So we rang Clough and Kearns, and we said, right, we'll put our next offer in. For £56,500 we offered. We thought, right, we need £500 for solicitor's fees. So we offered £56,500, and we just left it with them. And there was a girl who lived in the house, and she had two brothers. One was in the Merchant Navy and another brother. So they said it'll take a little time for her to get in touch. So we waited and we waited. And then Martin's dad actually rang us. He's here, isn't he? Where is he? Ernie, there. This particular day we were waiting and the phone rang. And Martin answered the phone and he said, Martin, he said, I've been on my knees this morning praying about your house. And he said, and the Lord says, good news. We thought, oh. So I literally put the phone down, and just after that, the phone rang, and I answered it. Hello, this is Clough and Kearns, Mrs. Ruddick. She said, they've accepted your offer. She said, good news, that's what she said. Good news, they've accepted your offer on the house. We went, yes. So we thought, thank you, Lord, our second miracle. And then, so then now, it was the £8,000, so I rang North Housing, and they said, oh, sorry, Mrs. Ruddick, but I think actually all the £8,000 have gone now. She said, well, I'll give you the number for the head office in Newcastle. You can ring there. So she gave me the number for there, and I rang Newcastle. And this lady said, oh, what's your name? What's your address? So I gave my name and address. She said, oh, hang on a minute. And I told her that we'd applied for this £8,000, and we had a house, we had a mortgage, the money. And she came back. She said, oh, hello, Mrs. Ruddick. She said, you've got the last £8,000. She said, it's been set aside for you. That were the words she said. It's been set aside for you. So it was awesome, you know. And I remember just after that, driving down our road, and the sold sign was up, and Martin said, it's sold! I said, yeah, to us. You know. But it's just to encourage us in faith, you know, because the important thing is that we have that relationship with God, and, you know, and to hear God, and to keep praying and to trust him and to be detailed, because God is detailed. He was detailed with the angel. You know, the angel came and gave all the details, and he's interested in all the details, and he has a plan and purpose for us. So our God wants us to surrender to his plan, you know, like Zachariah. He wanted him to surrender, and Elizabeth, to his plan that he had for them personally, and also for the plan he had to bring John the Baptist into the world to prepare the way for Jesus. And he wanted Mary to surrender to his plan. And he wants us to surrender to his plan. He has a plan for each one of us. And the best thing we can do is to surrender. So Zachariah now, you know, he's kind of, and it's okay, whatever it takes to get there, to surrender, it's okay. Sometimes we can have an instant response of faith. Sometimes we can struggle, and it's okay. Sometimes it's a process. And for Zachariah, it was a process for him, because the angel said to him, the sign will be that you will be silent. So Zachariah must have gone home. Well, he went out, didn't he? And they said, what's happened? Have you seen something? He's had a vision. And he trying to explain to them what had happened. And he must have gone home to Elizabeth, and then to trying to explain to her that she's going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. You know, he must have had to write it down, or sign language or something. And I was just thinking about how Zachariah, he couldn't actually talk about it. You know, you can imagine Elizabeth. Maybe she did. Maybe she talked with the friends or family and said, this is going to happen, you know, I'm having a baby. But actually, for Zachariah, God had a plan for him. He had a plan for his heart. And he wanted his heart to surrender to God. And so for Zachariah, he had to be silent. He wasn't allowed to talk about it. He was allowed just to watch. And he had to just watch God's plan unfold. He could watch God's plan grow. He saw Elizabeth and he saw John, the baby, grow within a womb. And he saw that plan grow before him, you know. And all that time, for those 9 months, he was silent, just watching and waiting. And his heart going through a process of surrender to God. And at the end, when the baby was born, when John was born, the natural thing to do was to give the baby a name that was a family name. So they were all chatting about that in the house. Oh, what we're going to call him? What are you going to call him? What name from the family? But John, Zachariah wrote down, his name is John. And that's like his point of surrender. He thought, yeah, it's not my baby. This is God's baby. He's chosen the name and I surrender. And as he wrote that name down, then he was able to speak. And so that for Zachariah was a process. And it's okay to have a process. But to be encouraged to have that, keep having that relationship with our God. Martin's actually told this story recently, but I'll just kind of recount it because it sort of illustrates. When I was at college, I was 17 and studying, doing my A-levels. And I was kind of thinking, oh, I'm sick of studying, you know. You might know that as a student. I'm sick of doing this. You know, I'd much rather have a job. And I was really interested in medicine and working in a hospital. And so I applied for working in the laboratories, you know, like as it was a scientific officer doing all tests on blood and everything like this. So I applied for this job and I got an interview. While I was still at college doing my A-levels. And I went for this interview. It was pretty scary, really. Sat around this table. It was about 10 men sat around this table with me, 17-year-old, asking all these questions. And then they said to me, but you're doing your A-levels, Margaret, you know. If you can keep going there and do... And I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to be there, you know. And it's hard, isn't it, thinking, yeah, yeah. But so they said, okay. And as I was coming out of the hospital, one of the technicians said... Well done, he said. It's between you and another girl, the job, you know. And I said, all right, thank you. And then I waited, and a couple of days later, I was coming out the door to go to college to get the bus, and the postman came, and it was a letter for me. And I opened the letter, and it was from the hospital, and it said, Dear Margaret, we regret to inform you that you didn't get the job. And I thought, oh. And I was so desperate to come out of college, and I felt really devastated, you know, and thought... Oh, my hope has gone. But I walked quite a way to get the bus to college. And as I was walking along, I thought, you know, it's really hard, this, you know. And I thought, I said to God, you know, but Lord, my life is in your hands, you know. And even though it's hard, and I don't really want to be at college, and my heart's desire would really to be in that hospital, I said, I'm going to submit to you, surrender to you. And because my life's in your hands, I trust you that this is part of your plan and will for me. And as I did that, my heart, I just got peace. And then after that, actually, a couple of years later, I met the girl who got that job. It was actually my friend from college. It was her cousin. And discovered, actually, she told me she worked in the hospital. And I said, oh, where do you work? And she told me, and I said, when did you start? And she told me, I said, congratulations. And I told her that I'd gone for that job. And she said, actually, she's a Christian. She said it was a real answer to prayer for her because her husband couldn't get a job and they had little children and they needed the money. So it was like, just think how awesome God is, you know, how for her that was an answer to prayer. And even though for me it was devastating, it was part of God's plan for me to stay at college. Because actually, while I was there, that's when I met Martin, you see. If I'd left college, I wouldn't have met Martin, actually. So it's interesting, isn't it? God's plans for us to surrender, even though it's painful. Or it's, you think, well, I don't really want this. And it's out of your hands, some things, but to trust God. And for Mary, her response at this time was an instant response. She said, "I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me according to your word." And she, even though she responded that way at the time, you know, her heart was ready to respond to God. Mary's still human as well, because the angel told her that actually Elizabeth as well, at this time, her cousin Elizabeth is in her sixth month with a baby who was always barren. So for Mary, she'd think, wow, Elizabeth's having a baby. She's old, she was barren, and God has allowed her to have a baby. So Mary, actually, she needed this encouragement, because straight away, she went to visit Mary. She went to visit Elizabeth, to see Elizabeth. And I think that was a lot of it was for herself, just to go there and say, are you actually having a baby? You know, and to hear her story about the angel coming there. You know, the angel Gabriel, it was interesting about the angel, how he came. He came to the same family with the same message, good news with a baby, in the same year. And there was different responses to that. But Mary needed that encouragement. And often, you know, sometimes you might have faith straight away for something and you might respond to God and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. But then afterwards, like the reality for Mary was going to hit her, wasn't it, actually? She's 15. She thinks, I've said yes to God, but actually, what's going to happen now? You know, I'm not married. And she might have started to think about all these things. I might get stoned, I might get rejected, Joseph might leave me, what's going to happen? So we all need encouragement. Mary needed encouragement. And it's like, you know, if you were expecting, find out you're expecting a baby, it's always encouraging to be with other women who are expecting babies, people who've had babies, to be alongside of them and to ask them questions and all of these things. And we all need encouragement. So I'm just going to finish just with this few things here to encourage us. Firstly, to encourage us with our relationship with God and our response, and not to be afraid, because he's got a plan for each one of us. And if you're afraid to think, it's too late, I'm too old to trust God, you know, because when you think of Zachariah and Elizabeth, how for them you think it's kind of the end of their life, but actually it was a beginning because it was a new baby, which is amazing, really. But also, if you think it's too early, I'm not ready, how can I do this? But have faith if God's asking you to do something, and to respond with your heart. And when we look at Zachariah and when we look at Mary, their response was one of praise and worship. I'm just going to read out now, you know, their response, their heart response to God, and what they sang, you know, in all of this. And this is Zachariah's song. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has visited his people and redeemed them. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour in the house of David, his servant, as he promised by the lips of holy men, those who were his prophets from of old, a Saviour who would free us from our foes, from the hands of all who hate us. So his love for our fathers is fulfilled, and his holy covenant remembered. He swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that free from fear and safe from the hands of our foes, we might serve him in holiness and justice all the days of our life in his presence. As for you, little child," this is John the Baptist, "you shall be called a prophet of God the Most High. You shall go ahead of the Lord to prepare the ways before him, to make known to his people their salvation through forgiveness of all their sins, the loving kindness of the heart of our God, who visits us like the dawn from on high. He will give light to those in darkness, those who dwell in the shadow of death, and guide us into the way of peace." And that's Zachariah's song at the end of that process of submitting and surrendering to God and part of God's plan. That was his song. And Mary's song was, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth all ages will call me blessed. The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name. His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him. He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted. He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly. He fills the starving with good things and he sends the rich away empty. He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy, the mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever. You know, we just thank God for his plan, for bringing Jesus to this earth for us, you know. And Jesus wants to come to us in the midst of all our plans for Christmas. Jesus wants to come into our hearts and have relationship with us. And he wants us to be at a place of surrender, you know, whether it be instant or whether it be a process, but to stay in relationship with him. And I just was thinking about Mother Teresa, you know, and there's people we can look at and be encouraged by, and people who have gone before us, and we can look at them and think, you know, their life surrendered to God. And for us, it can be every day a process, surrendering little things, big things. And often the little things become the big things, surrendering the little things. And, you know, Mother Teresa, you know, I'm sure she started with the little things, surrendering the little things, and in the end, her whole life. And, you know, if you know Mother Teresa, well, it's good to read about her life, to be encouraged how she lived among the poor and really just looked after the poor people and served them. And you know, it's interesting, Mother Teresa's prayer, when she was praying about her own death, she prayed, you know, that she said, Lord, when I die, let me die, let nobody know. Let me not be, let there not be a big deal in this world when I die. Let me be hidden. That was her heart, you know, she wanted to give glory to God. She said, let it, you know, let me be hidden when I die. And you know, Mother Teresa, she died the same week that Lady Diana died. And it was interesting because if you saw the newspapers, I mean, when Lady Diana died, it was massive, wasn't it? You saw the flowers for weeks and weeks and weeks. But it was interesting because the front of the paper was Lady Diana and the flowers. And actually, inside this newspaper, about the third or the fourth page, there was a little article about Mother Teresa and how she died. You know, and you just think, how beautiful Mother Teresa. She got her prayer answered. But just her heart for God, you know, she glorified God with her life, you know. And I just want to read to finish with, this is actually something that was found on Mother Teresa's office wall. And this is, if you can think of yourself in this and be encouraged by this. It says, people are often unreasonable, irrational and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. So, Father, we just thank you for your love, and we thank you for the gift of Jesus who came to this earth. And we thank you, Jesus, that you live in our hearts, and we pray, Lord, that we will allow you in more and more. And we thank you that it's between us and you anyway. And I pray for each one of us today, Father, that our lives will be surrendered to you and that we will look to you and trust you with our lives, Lord. And thank you that you have a plan and purpose for every day, every week, every month, every year. And whether it be painful or whether it be joyful, we just ask you to give us grace and strength, and that our hearts will just relate to you, talk to you in all, that we will worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
They're going to give you a massive round of applause now. we're almost out of time, but you know, we love to pray for people. So if you want some prayer specifically about anything that Margaret said, we'll pray for you. You know, come forward and we'll pray for you. But should we just pray one more time? Should we stand together? Lord, you are absolutely amazing, Lord. And as Christmas becomes all about everything else except you, Lord, I just ask for each and every single one of us in this room, through the message that Margaret gave us there, Lord, that we would, violently get hold of the reality of Christmas for ourselves and the birth of you, Lord Jesus, the reality of who you are. And amidst everything else that goes on around Christmas, Lord, we want to take hold of you. We want to take hold of you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've said to us this morning, for the great example of Mary and Zechariah. Lord, we're so like that in many ways, Lord. And we want to be more like Mary than Zechariah, but we thank you, Lord, that in your mercy and your grace, either's okay. We thank you, Jesus, for a wonderful message this morning. Stir up our hearts. Fill us with love and grace and mercy towards each other in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Bless you. Tea and coffee. But if you want prayer, please come forward and we'll pray for you.